accession number 30339, Reel 6.
So, the bomb itself is made of tin. There's a long tin snout. And the detonator you put in the snout.
It's the charge that they're using now in Iraq.
Pardon?
It's the weapon that's being used in Iraq. That's probably a very early precursor of it, but it's the same principle.
Yes.
Anyway, so and I've heard that these things are actually for. I talked to someone who fired one in anger in. He was a Marine taking one of the big batteries of guns just before D-Day. He's parachuted in, and they shot one of the first tanks coming over, and worked, to much to their amazement.
Yeah, somebody got a VC for that.
I can't remember his name, but...
Somebody stood up in the middle of a tank battle and fired that damn thing from the hip.
No, it wasn't that.
No, there was another one. Oh. Because
anyway,
tanks ignored him because they thought he got a machine gun.
So you fired that, you fired other munitions. So now you're coming to the... You've trained as a light infantryman, and now...
Yes, I learned all about lifting mines and explosives and all sorts of things.
So it's quite a high-powered course. You weren't just going to be an ordinary soldier.
Yeah, we had to lift... What they did, they had mines, German mines, and there were no explosives in them, but the detonators were in them. So you had to be damn careful how you lifted them. And in some instances, they were connected to a cotton bag of Amatol and powdered it in the ground on the other side of a bank or something. So if you did upset it, the whole damn thing blew up. And one day, the instructors put all these booby-trap mines in a spinny. We had to clear it. So we cleared it, picked all the stuff up, and had to stack it back in a pile. So I reset some of the stuff when we were restacking it. Some of the things, what they call book igniters, they fold up like that and you close and put them underneath something like that. So when somebody lifts it up, bang, sets the whole charge off. I set some of these things and all the piles of other stuff that we brought back, put back, and we marched off. And as we were marking away the distance, I heard them going off as the instructors went back to reset the next lot.
You must have been popular.
Wow.
So... Now we're then, where are we now? Can you remember, roughly date-wise, we would be at the...
This is Pembroke.
Autumn 44, something like that?
Something like that, yes. Because then I was posted to the Surreys, 2nd Battalion of the Surreys. I missed that quite a bit before that, because there was a lot of travelling before that. Various vaccinations... Typhus, all sorts of things. I was sent to the Surreys in Canterbury. They were under canvas out. And, I wasn't happy with them. They had a bad colonel. He'd been kicked out of Burma. I think he thought he was God. What some people call a man waster. And we were there waiting to go out and fight the Japs. And one day, whilst I was there, they dropped the atom bomb in Japan. I thought, hooray. And the next thing I knew, I was posted to BOR in Germany, to the Hampshire Regiment, TA Regiment again.
And what were you given the choice to go back?
No.
You weren't?
You're told where to go. So... On the way there, we stopped in Ghent, at a castle in Ghent. There's a castle there in Ghent. And that's sort of a staging place for people going to and fro in. And Ghent, the streets are sort of avenues all the way around with trees, one thing or another. And one night, we were turned out with our rifles and live ammunition. Apparently... They got three prisoners locked up and they knocked out the provost police. That's the military police. And escaped in the castle. We were ordered outside and surrounded the castle and shoot anybody who tried to get over the wall. These were three soldiers. And we were ordered to shoot. So we've been standing there, hung under these trees, looking up at the wall. for about an hour, I suppose, and all of a sudden, some head and shoulders poked over the wall. It's all right, they've got them all. I thought, that's not an order to come in. That's something funny. Who are you? And I rammed a round up the spout, and it was gone, just like that. So we were out there another hour waiting. Finally, we were called in. They caught two of them. One was still missing, and he was still in the castle somewhere. 2 days later, a bombardier was in a Urania, which had been an old stable block or something, and galvanized trough against the wall, and he was standing there spending a penny, and he's staring up at the roof, and there was a big beam up there. And he saw this bloke laying along lengthways along the beam. They got him. Apparently, when they caught him, they stripped them naked. This was in the winter. Put them back in the cells with no bedding. Now, what they were in for, I have no idea. But
because this was after the end of the war. The war had ended
yes,
by now.
Yeah. This is occupation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. But Europe then was a lot of deserters who were living in the black market. Gone wild.
German or?
British.
British.
All sorts. You have to remember that this conscription, the army wasn't selective. He had all sorts of people. For instance, in the 59th Essex, the conscripts were brought in. Eventually, they boost the numbers up, you know. And some of them were out. Now, they said they were burglars. That was their living. One chap that's sleep next to me. He was a cat burglar. The other side of me was a metropolitan policeman. They used to swap tails at night. And with these chaps who were professionals, you could put all your cigarettes and your money out beside your bed, and it was never touched. The only ones you had to look out for were the ones that didn't talk. So there was a right mixture.
One thing I want to, which we've sort of gone through, the day of the end of the war, in VE Day. Where were you then? You were still training, or can you remember? I'm just thinking that idea.
VJ Day or VE Day?
VE Day.
Oh, VE Day. I was still in Pembroke, up in the mountains, in a foxhole, without all exercise, and it rained solidly all night. I was sitting in this hole trying to cover myself with a grain sheet. Dipping the water out with a mess tin.
And you heard the war was over.
And they came out and told us about 5 o'clock in the morning. The war was over. Well, it was VE Day.
So what did you do?
Everybody wanted to light a fire, and we couldn't find anything dry to fire. So they pulled the flares out of the 2-inch mortars and set them off. I got a 2-inch mortar, and we had thunder flashes. You stick 2 thunder flashes together. Light the bottom one, drop it down the mortar tube like this, and that one went off, shot the other one up in the air and ignited at the same time and it exploded in the air. We went back and everybody got drunk that time.
Must have been
the day off.
Quite a day, I can imagine.
Yeah.
So anyway, so then you wind up, like we were coming to the end now, obviously. You go out to Germany, and how long are you there, and what do you do? Actually, I've just got to say, this is Norman Dunn, Reel 6. We're now in 1945, in probably what?
45 August,
transferred out. September, something like that.
45, September.
There we go, 1945. I've got it there.
Yeah. Posted to Somerset Light Infantry, December 1945, 1st of August. It's posted back to RA under. Oh, yes. December 45, posted to Germany. Hampshire Regiment.
What was your impression of it? I mean, to actually see Germany for the first time, and it was incredibly battered, I imagine.
Oh, terrible. It was terrible.
Whereabouts were you?
Well, the town where we were finally finished up in was a place called Bunde. There had been hadn't been hardly touched. It was a small country town. And this is where the British Army Control Commission was. So I was given the job as sort of a, I had a 1500 weight truck and I was sort of postman. And I was ferrying piles of documents from one place across the town to another. And they had to, I had to sign for it, and I had to get it signed for the other. And they were sorting through German documents and stuff. I don't know what it was they were sorting, but there was a lot of, awful lot of it. The people weren't hostile at all. We weren't supposed to fraternise, but we did. You can't stop British Tommy.
There must have been a thriving black market too, I would think.
Yes. Not amongst us, I don't think. I think it was the blokes who were actually running loose, the deserters and things. There was a lot of black market. Places like Hereford, Bielefeld and Osnabrück were places I visited to fetch things from, were in absolute ruins. They were stinking. It was dreadful. I remember I had to go to a printing works one day there, and the German workers were there. It was their lunch break. They had their tin cans, and all they had was mashed swede for dinner. That's all they had, cold mashed swede. So it was very unpleasant. There were an awful lot of DPs roaming around the place.
Displaced persons.
Yeah. It was an awful mess. Dreadful mess. Then finally I was posted back to Antwerp. I was interviewed by the military police because they were looking for military policemen. Unfortunately for me, my demob number was soon to come up, so they weren't interested in me. I didn't want to be a military policeman.
You would have done everything then, cook, artilleryman, infantryman and policeman. That would have been a lot.
Then, finally, you moved in stages. Like then I moved down to a place near Ostend, a place called Jabik, a small village. There was a German prisoner of war camp there, built by the Germans originally, but no, we got it full of Germans. So whilst I was there, part of our job was guarding it. We were up on tower blocks with searchlights and machine guns. They were the baddies. Who they were, I have no idea. We had to keep them away from the fences and all this. Then finally your number came up, and you get on the boat, you get off at Dover, queues of troops going through the, they check everybody's pay book, see how much pay you drawn, because if you've got more money than you have pay, they want to know you've obviously been on the black market. So most of the troops filed past the path. There was a long table with customs officers all along it, and they were stopping mostly officers. Then when there was a customs officer who hadn't got anybody, he looked at the blokes filing across. Hey, you! So he pointed. I thought he was pointing at me, and I said, me? No, him! And he, this bloke had got his kit bag on his right shoulder like he was going. The customer jumped the table, boy. He grabbed him, ripped his bag up, tipped it on the floor. He got it. I went on. So then you go to the demob place. You go through all the paperwork, and you go through and pick your civilian suits, and you rail and travel off home.
And that's it?
Yeah.
And what did it feel like coming back?
Great.
No regrets?
Yeah. No. One hell of an experience, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. They say join your army and see the world. You see it. You see all of it.
Well, thanks very much. Is there anything? We've done a lot this afternoon. We've been going for nearly 2.5 hours. Anything?
I think there's quite a bit I've missed.
Sure. Well, you couldn't be expected to get everything, but that was very useful. Thank you very much. Nothing now that you think, I should have mentioned that, or...
Pardon?
There's nothing, no one incident that you think that you should have mentioned and that you haven't.
Don't think so.
Good, okay.
I've avoided mentioning names.
That's all right, not a problem.
Although there were certain people that you thought was a bit of a joke and all this sort of thing, you know.
Sure. But
the Captain Holt, he was good.
The trainer who trained initially back in 1939, yeah.
Yeah. And also the captain, the battery captain, he was Captain Miller. I had absolutely nothing, he was a nice chap. He was a millionaire.
Well, look, I think that's. Thank you very much. You've done well. I know it's very tiring too, and we have done a fair whack.
Well, would you like a cup of tea or something before you set off?
That would be nice. Yes, a quick cup. I'll just ring my girlfriend who's loitering in Barnstaple.
Oh dear.